Just to bear out what Brian was saying, when one sees how Christ is pictured in the churches that are covered here by Thyatira, the usual picture would be a baby in his mother's arms, or a person hanging dead on the cross or dying on the cross. You don't find Christ pictured as the Son of God very often in that which Thyatira covers, but a helpless baby in his mother's arms, or one who is dying on the cross. Those are the pictures that are presented. He presents himself as the Son of God, who has his eyes as a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Now, there's quite a contrast between these presentations. And one sees, too, in this, the Lord Jesus is presenting himself as one who lives and who sees and who judges. And, within the church that has become institutionalized, you have to go through the, through the institution and through the mechanics of things. You make your appeal and sometimes it doesn't get heard for 6 or 7 years or something like this. And the fact that the Lord is judging, the fact that the Lord sees, this is lost sight of. The appropriate people have to see and have to deal with the matter, and it can be appealed and so on and so forth. And this is not what the Lord is teaching here. And we notice too now in verse 19, he says, I know thy works and love and faith and service and thine endurance and thy last works to be more than the first. Here, works are emphasized very much. And one has to say that in the 1400 odd years of history of this side of Christendom, there has been a lot of works. And works have grown in the course of the years. In the Middle Ages, in the Dark Ages even, when monasteries were first built, they were the hospitals, they were the schools, universities and so were started, learning was kept alive. The monks copied the Bible for hundreds of years before Gutenberg invented the printing press, and so on. There were tremendous works done, and the Lord recognizes this, and he recognizes that as time went on, there were even more works. But all that does not change his opinion about this Jezebel, who calls herself prophetess, and teaches and leads astray my servants to commit fornication and eat of idol sacrifices. The Lord doesn't go into a lot of detail about the works other than to say he recognizes them, but he does go into a fair amount of detail here on the things that he has to reprove this church for. I gave her time that she should repent. She will not repent of her fornication. There is a will in this institution that goes contrary to the will of our Lord Jesus.
Just a quick comment. It's hard to get a mic back there. Brother Samir had started making a comment earlier on about how we need to obey Scripture and to read the Word of God. And then we've had comments made about how we had the institutional church in the previous church, and then now in Thyatira we have something more. And I think the progression is in this woman Jezebel. It's something that just struck me. She's called a prophetess, or she calls herself a prophetess. And what's a prophet? A prophet is someone who speaks the words of God. But she calls herself a prophetess, so she's a false prophetess. So keep that in mind. And then keep in mind, later in Revelation, we read about this harlot that rides the beast. And I think most of you would agree with me that that's a picture of what happens to the church after the saints are taken away. And during the tribulation, what's left of this church system, and it has this worldly authority. The harlot is the bride that's gone away from her husband, which is Christ. And so at this point in Thyatira, we've talked about how this represents a certain section of Christendom, but maybe just to make it practical, when we leave our husband, when we leave Christ, our Lord, and when we set up anything else to have any kind of divine authority, whether it's the Pope, whether it's the, you know, the magisterium in the Catholic Church, or whether, can I say it, whether it's people who've gone before us, you know, even men like Darby and Kelly, you know, if we set up their teachings as wonderful and helpful as they are, if we set those up as being in any way divinely inspired, then we commit the same thing as Thyatira does.
We have... spoken of this matter of Christ presenting himself to Thyatira as the Son of God. He is then the highest, he's setting himself the highest authority. He is God's Son. And he is the one to whom we have to be accountable. Not only that, I was just thinking this matter of the Son of God. It's the only mention of him as the Son of God, I think, in the book of Revelation. Another point is, we have Paul speaking to the Galatians that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He's touching on this matter of authority, and mixed in that is this matter of his love and affection, of which he so much desires of us. And so we have Thyatira, we have Jezebel, who is a picture of man, love and affection. It's a lady. And listen, guys, we certainly are very much attracted to ladies. And it said of Ezekiel that God took away the desire of your eyes. And here, this Jezebel, who is mentioned here, is taking the place of the Son of God. He is divine. Yes, he's presented as the Son of Man and also pictured as a judge, but he is divine and has authority. Those feet, we're talking about works. He works, and his feet are of fine brass. There is no flexibility at all in his walk and discernment in his churches.